Welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diest, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Welcome to Right Through the Roof, and today I'm speaking with Trevor Young. How are you going, Trevor?
Good, thanks, Madeline. Thanks for having me.
That's all right. So a little introduction about Trevor. So Trevor is a public relations and marketing communications practitioner, specialising in content marketing and social media. He is the founder of Digital Citizen, a content-driven communications consultancy based in Melbourne, and his book Micro Domination is out now.
It is.
Excellent. So how I like to start off is a few kind of warm-up questions. So maybe like a aperitif, let's say. So you write books, you do social media, you do blogging. What's your favourite?
Oh, that's like asking you to, what's your favourite child? I like books because I've always read books, and blogging is really a recent phenomenon, as in 11 years I've been blogging. I like all the forms for different reasons. I love books because they're more of a permanent reminder, and they make a loud noise when you drop them, even though we have got virtual books now. And excuse me, and blogging often I think has improved my writing. So I like blogging from that perspective. It makes a heck of a difference for when you're going to write a book.
And how is that?
To write, I'm an ex-journalist, so mm-hmm. I had to get that sort of writing out of my system over the journey. And when you're blogging, it has to be more conversational. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more informal. And that was something that didn't come naturally to me. But over years, my blog, PR Warrior, I started in July 2007 when people were saying, what is a blog? But if you go back and have a look at the early stuff, it's really much, much different to what I write now. And when I wrote Micro Domination, the publisher at Wiley said, you've managed to do what a lot of authors can't or haven't been able to do, and that is write like you. You can hear you speaking it as you go. And that's what I call that conversational style, and that's what I believe blogging has done for me.
Mm, good. Okay, so what's your favourite time to write?
Oh, I've changed it up a bit. I used to be later at night because I do most of my writing outside of work hours. I've never got over the fact that a book is part of your business and you should be, you know, you can write during the day. Mm-hmm. But in recent times, I've actually moved more towards in the morning. First up, I'm very clear in the morning and I get into the office early and I'm writing shorter, sharper bursts first thing in the morning.
Mm.
Fiction I like doing at night, but non-fiction I like doing in the morning.
Any theories behind why?
Absolutely none. Don't look into it too deeply. You don't know what you'll find.
Cool. And do you have a writing fuel of choice?
Yes, for non-fiction, it's actually, this is going to sound weird, coffee.
Yeah.
And if I'm really relaxed and writing on the weekend for enjoyment in fiction, I don't mind a beer. So there you go. There are two sides, aren't there?
Yeah. Excellent. Well, it sounds like we've got to know you a little bit more. So let's talk a little bit more in depth about your writing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you describe your writing and what themes do you like to explore?
Well, I'll stick pretty much to the non-fiction because I've got a book there and I've got another one that's 90% written, so about 68,000 words into the second one. The sort of themes that I like, what I like doing is I like joining the dots of a number of trends. So working in comms, media, social media, content marketing, all of those things, and they all click in and interrelate. And I'm a big believer in developing your own philosophy around all of those things. and how do the dots join? And there's a lot of nuance. People get besotted by the tools and the technologies and the apps and the platforms. I'm more concerned with the content and the stories, your heart and spirit as a publisher, whether a blogger or a podcaster or whatever it is, how you can get that out there. And so I like joining the dots because today it's not just about doing one thing, it's about doing multiple things that all join up. So, you know, you might build a personal brand through blogging and from writing a whole stack of blog posts, you might create a book, and then the book helps you get noticed for the to get into magazines and podcast interviews. And so everything joins up. So whether it was the first book that I did, which I identified a trend, a movement, which I called the Micro Mavens, to content marketing for PR, which is looking at content from with a PR lens on, which is a little bit different than a lot of content marketers do. So I take the bigger picture and then bring it down and join the dots.
That's a very interesting point about that whole, because that could be attributed to fiction writers as well, is that bringing your personal story through any blogging that you might do to promote yourself and connect with your audience.
Absolutely. It's all about connecting with your audience, whether it's a non-fiction or fiction, 100%.
Good. Okay. So what do you think is the one thing that's been most helpful in improving your writing?
It really has been when I've got focus, that's when it really works. Writing in shorter, sharper bursts, I've found, is working a lot better for me now, doing less but doing more, whereas I used to just, you know, spend a big chunk of the weekend doing it. With Micro Domination, I basically had 3 months to write it, and I think for the first 2 weeks I was still trying to work out what I was going to write about. But I had a general gist, but the structure of it wasn't coming together. Once I had the structure first, then I could write to it. And the good thing with nonfiction is you don't have to write in a linear fashion. You can just jump in the last chapter if you like. So what I've found then, that was just writing in you know, in big chunks because the deadlines required it. With my next book, I'm very keen to do self-publish on that. So I haven't got the crushing deadlines that I probably should have given myself at the start, but I'm finding that I'm getting more done by doing a little bit every day. It's kind of like that, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I'm doing the one bite and sort of 60 to 90 minute bursts, and I find that focus is really starting to work for me.
Do you have a word count target?
I've passed it, yeah, as I did.
I mean, for your daily?
Oh, not for my daily, no, because I'm writing so much too. So, you know, I do write blogs, and I write micro stories for LinkedIn where you've got 1,300 characters, and sometimes it can be harder to write 1,300 characters at a crisp to writing, you know, three times that amount. So I'm always writing. I'm writing every day, not necessarily just the book though.
Do you think sometimes your writing muscle gets tired, and so you don't, from your business writing versus the books?
Well, the book is sort of business writing anyway, so it's an extension of that. I mean, if I'm writing a strategy or a proposal, which really is, you know, I've just finished off last week a quite a big social media strategy for a large organisation, and that is a different type of writing because, you know, but you've still got to articulate your thoughts, your thinking, what you've seen, because you don't know who will read that and where it goes within the organisation. So on one hand, it's kind of, it's still an articulation of thinking, which is what a non-fiction book really is. But on the other hand, it's... that can get really tiring. To you know your thoughts, you've put it down on the whiteboard and you've got all that, and then you've got to get it onto paper. And if you've been doing that all day or other writing and then try to write strategy, that I find that can be a bit difficult sometimes to get it word perfect.
So you were talking about the 1,300 character LinkedIn stories.
Yep.
So do you have any tips for writing short like that?
Yes, it's you've got to go in with a really tight idea of what you want to get. It's almost one idea for one story or for one, you know, one post. Because if you try and cover too much ground, you just can't do it. I often will bullet point things. And so I'll get into it. I'll have a heading. I'll, you know, what people will see the first line and understand what the rest of it's like because they've got to scroll down. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that people do scroll and read those short posts in LinkedIn, which is fantastic. But it's, you've just got to be so economical. And I'll always go over 1,300 mm-hmm. and then I'll, like anything, you edit your way to greatness, don't you? So you, I'll always go over because of the little it tells you, and then I'll start cutting back. But it's amazing what you can cut out and continue to keep that. I like 1,300 characters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a Twitter guy from way back, and 140 characters took me a long time, and when it went to 280 characters, and I'm thinking, I'm a sort of a purist. I'm not really sure about this. But the moment that I started getting into 280 characters, it doesn't mean you use 280. It just means that there's a lot of things about 180 characters. So it just gives you that. Sometimes you just can't get it out in 140 characters. But their research, Twitter's research, and I back it up, is that you can then have a lot more conversations when you get to 280. You still got to be quite brief.
Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know, I was the same. I was like, oh, I don't know about this 280. But then now when I come across, when I try to tweet back to Twitter and someone hasn't updated their LinkedIn and it stops me at 140, I'm like, what?
I haven't come across that yet, but I'm sure I will at some stage.
Yeah. So in terms of going back to also that concise kind of writing, because I'm interested in thinking about the difference between fiction writing,
yep.
to take, you know, as a fiction writer myself, to take the fiction writing hat off, and yep. if I need to do promotions for my own work, it's mm-hmm. getting into that copywriting hat.
Yep.
How do you make that transition?
Well, I almost do it back the other way, because I guess being a journalist and always writing, I've always written quite economically. Mm. I think, you know, blogging forces you and social media forces you to go economic. Writing a book, you know, it's more tendency to probably get a bit broader and then you have to be pegged back.
Mm.
I certainly do that. And with if I'm just doing some fiction, I like to try and keep things short, in short, you know, staccato bursts, but I don't, I aim for it, but I don't get it.
Mm.
That's my wish, to be able to write in those short staccato bursts. I like that. With my current book, I am really putting a lot of full stops in and trying to keep things short. It's not always possible, of course.
But what genre are you writing in?
In my fiction, I'm it's crime thriller.
Ah. Yeah.
Good old staple. I grew up on Ed McBain and Alistair McLean and writers like that. And it's never left me. I was reading that at sort of 11 and 12 and 13. Mm. Ian Fleming, James Bond. That's the stuff I grew up on, and I've always loved it.
Mm. Mm. So is your character Australian? Or?
Yep. Yep. I think Melbourne is just ripe for a little bit of noir.
Yeah.
And it's got a, you know, it's got a big history in crime and the underbelly and all of that side of things. And I just think it needs to be more of it out into the world. I think we fit nicely in the world of crime. We've got the grime and the back alleys required. And it just means that, you know, you write what you know about probably in the earlier days, don't you?
Mm.
That's what I hear anyway.
Mm-hmm. And then going back to your loves, what you want to read.
That's 100% it. With fiction, you've got to know the market a little bit. Non-fiction, you've got to know the market. Because a book is like content marketing. And if you're, you know, blogging and you have an understanding of the type of audience you're trying to reach and all that, that makes sense because, you know, you're trying to attract that audience and over time build business around it. I think in fiction, yes, you know, you can pick genres that are popular and there's some marketing imperatives. I'm probably more of the school and, you know, you do get people that are more of the school of I just want to write what I want to read.
Mm.
And that's more of a purist and that's probably where I fit in that side of things. Whereas in nonfiction, there's no way I'm going to write a book that no one's interested in
mm.
Because it's a more of a slog. Mm-hmm. It's research heavy. It can be a slog. Fiction to me is a little bit more fun.
Mm-hmm. So have you thought about the personal brand you're going to create with your fiction?
I have a alter ego. I think I have to because I think there's potential to confuse. Mm-hmm. So I've got one there. Got their own Twitter handle. They're actually tweeting. They are tweeting. The picture on Twitter is me, but it doesn't look. It looks a rougher me.
Yeah.
When I had a beard. I've thought about that. I've seen how do other people do it, and I just think it's one of those things that I actually think is quite fun to. When you do write fiction, you do put yourself into the character, and you know, it makes it's a bit fun to have a sort of like this pseudonym. It's kind of fitting, but I can't with everything else I do. So if I'm Googled, I come up, you know, even though my name's quite common, I come up pretty high and for blogs and all of these things. So it would probably confuse people to start seeing a hardcore crime novel coming out from me.
Yeah. Although I hadn't really thought about it before, about if you're creating a pseudonym or nom de plume, that you're basically creating another character. But
yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And there was only one commerciality is that, not that I'm, you know, if I did fiction, I'd probably self-publish and I won't be in bookshops. But the thing is with that is that, you know, if I ever got in bookshops, why sit right down the bottom? That's purgatory.
You'd be AA.
Whereas my pseudonym will be starting with L, which puts it in some really nice territory on the bookshelves. But that's a long, long, long way to go.
That's very supermarket of you.
I know, it's ridiculous. I know.
Cool. So you talked a little bit about some of the writers that inspire your fiction.
Yep.
What writers inspire your nonfiction?
Yeah, I read very, very broadly. And so I'm going to, you know, I don't like every nonfiction book I buy, and I don't read all of them when I do get them, but if I get, you know, I can cherry pick and get the sorts of things I want out of it. But probably the one who's been the most consistent that I've always bought and read, and I read his blog, is a guy called Seth Godin.
Mm.
And, you know, his blog, he can say in three or four sentences, you know, what would take mere mortals, you know, 10 times that in words and still never get their point across. So from writing economically, getting your point across, weaving ideas together and articulating them in such a way that it just smacks you between the eyes, I don't think there's anyone better. I think he's doing it every day.
Yeah.
And then his blogs turn into books. I mean, I've got one of his books, it's about 2 inches thick, called What You Gonna Do With That Duck, which means from a marketing perspective, why would you name a book like that? But he can get away with it. And it's kind of like a collection of a lot of his blog posts. So it's a great omnibus of a lot of the stuff he's already written. So that taking his ideas, and he's another great example, someone who's blogging, formulating his ideas in a blog, which I so believe in, and see what works and see what people are liking, and then turn that into a book. And we see that often. People put it out an article or a blog, it goes really well, and then they turn that into a book that changes in nonfiction. There's a woman called Dori Clark in the States, and she wrote a book about reinventing yourself, reinventing you.
Yeah.
And it was on Harvard Business Review and went well. So I think they asked her to do an expanded version, and it went even better. And she, up until that point, she'd be writing on so many topics, and this is the one that really took, just went viral. And from that book deal, did it and sent her on her way as an author. And so that's where blogging and writing articles and trying to see what's resonating with people, and what ideas are gelling is blogging can be fantastic for that.
Have you listened to Seth Godin's podcast?
I have, the Akimbo one. Yes.
Yeah, because I heard him say that, maybe not on that, but on a separate interview, that he felt that none of his blog posts had ever gone viral. Like, he's written 7,000 of them.
Yeah, he's probably right, because they probably all get shared, but there's probably not one sort of standout because they're all pretty good. and they're sort of short. Some of them are very, very, very short. But they're all very popular. That's probably the thing. He doesn't need a viral. You know, viral's irrelevant to him.
Mm.
He's someone who looks, and I'm probably trying to think more like him, think of a body of work. It's not just these one-off hits that you're trying to get to be viral. It's this body of work you build over time, which becomes who you are. It's your flag in the ground, and what you stand for and your philosophy around whatever the given topic is that you have.
Mm.
And then making, you know, what he's great at doing is he joins those dots for people. And just does it in such an insightful way.
Yeah, he is one of those people that I forget to check in back with regularly, but then often enough he comes into my kind of bubble because someone else shares it. I'm like, oh, that's right, this guy's awesome.
Well, I've seen it. I've seen him speak in New South Wales, in Sydney, and he spoke pretty much for the whole day.
Wow.
And he answered people's questions. A bit was probably stuff that he'd talked about a lot before, but then he starts getting people to throw questions at him for half a day. Like intellectually, that must have just exploded your head just to concentrate for that amount of time. And just brilliant. And he actually does talk like he writes. He can still, his themes and his ideas are, you know, very well condensed.
Sounds like he's a hero of yours.
Fascinating bloke. Got a good haircut too.
Although you haven't quite got the glasses.
I haven't got the yellow glasses.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Micro Domination, the world's longest subtitle.
How to leverage social media and content marketing to build a mini business empire around your personal brand. That's the thing with business books. It's not about the... It's not about the title, but the subtitle.
Yeah. Okay. So, what inspired you to write this?
I actually got approached, and this is one thing that I'm big on, and this is really what the book was kind of about. That if you do your own content, become your own publisher, become your own media channel is what I like to say. Over time, that you know helps build your brand, your personal brand. So. You know, I was sort of known in the PR field because I ran an agency and we did some high-profile work. But outside of that, I was, you know, Mr. Invisible. But, you know, from blogging and being early on Twitter and LinkedIn and that sort of things, so I got known and then I started speaking because I got asked to speak. And then from all of those things, that platform combined, that's when John Wiley and Son, the publisher, came to me and said, let's write a book along these sorts of themes. And that's what it's about. So it was kind of like I'd been watching a lot of following a lot of people and joining the dots of what they were doing. In the background, I was going on that journey myself, which is, once again, becoming your own media channel, building your personal brand through all of these channels. The book goes a little bit further to discuss how a lot of these people are building businesses around their personal brand. So that required a fair bit of research. But it's all out there and open and public. And that's the wonderful thing. I had it all, you know, at the click of a mouse that I could find any information I wanted. And I guess the micro mavens, as I call them, they're very open and transparent, unlike the old school thought leaders that have probably been built up through the media and all of that, and it's all about them. The micro mavens, the ones that are building these big DIY self-publishing mini empires, they're very connected to their community and they understand the importance of building community and audience.
So... are some of those examples, are they very strategic or have some of them just kind of evolved a kind of agile style?
Examples that I've used in the book. Because it was a little bit earlier days when I was sort of watching them and there was no sort of blueprint for anyone, so I suppose to a degree this was a little bit of a blueprint. But they all make mistakes. They go off and do different things. A lot of them now are a lot more strategic. You can kind of see they've you know, a little slicker with their direction and the image that they're portraying. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And the people that are coming in behind them now have used these people as the vanguard. What are they doing? Where are they going? You know, and so it's pretty well now open how to do these things. There's some sort of unwritten rules, I suppose, but it still comes down to having good content and being able to build that audience and have that connection with an audience. So whether you, and it was probably predominantly blogging in the earlier days, but now it's probably more video, as much video or podcasting. So that's why I like that space. It's exciting. But I just wanted to be able to articulate, because I saw this movement coming up and I just needed to articulate it and bring it to life, which is what the book's about. And so a bit of how-to, but it's also a bit of an articulation.
So you hear that people say that blogging's dead. Do you agree with that?
No, not at all, not at all. I mean, it's and what is a blog today? I mean, is it just writing, or is – no, it's putting in, you know, having a podcast in your blog. I know when we say blogging, we're thinking writing. But even if you're doing a podcast, you have show notes and everything. So, no, not at all. I think it's probably even more important now, because how many people have spent so much energy and time and maybe money, you know, building their Facebook following, and then Facebook changes the rules and, you know, your organic reach is strangled down to a handful of percent. At least if you've got a blog, you've got a digital heartbeat. You've got some, you know, you're not on rented land like you are on Facebook. So I think you always want to be driving traffic back. There's no doubt that, you know, blogs probably aren't getting the traffic that they used to. You know, in the earlier days, you just chuck up a blog and you feel, you know, one of the early ones in your space, you can't help but get noticed. And it's a little bit harder to do that now. But there's always room for originality and good thoughts and good stories. And it just means you've probably got to be strategic. Do you want to go head-to-head with everyone, or what's going to be your, I hate to say niche, but, you know, your angle? What's going to be your hook? Your flag in the ground that kind of others haven't got. And it might be just your personality. It might be the way you think about a topic. It might be your tone of voice is loud and out there, or, you know, it's everything's different. But I believe, you know, if you are the brand, whether you're an author or a business professional or whatever, you need to start developing content assets. And I just think everything comes back to a blog, you know, because that allows you to just keep – it forces you to keep writing, keep adding things in, you know. There's a little bit of discipline involved. But I think the days of blogging every day, that they're gone. It's it's probably less, and doing less but doing it deeper. When I look at what I write now, my pieces are a bit deeper, you know, between probably 1,200 and 2,000 words per blog post. And I'm doing a lot less of them. And Google likes long-form content. Everyone's saying shorter, shorter, shorter. Yeah, that's for social. But on the flip side, if you're talking about, you know, things that require depth, you put depth into it. And Google loves that. So long-form content is certainly trending now as well. So I think we tend to forget about that in this short, you know, short, keep it brief world that we live in.
Interesting. So do you want to talk about book number two, what you're working on at the moment?
Well, book number two, I suppose, is closer to where I am at the moment, content marketing for PR. So you can notice that I've gone with a boring title versus Micro Domination, which was a sexy title, I thought, but probably didn't mean much. it's sort of an area that I want to sort of, I guess, claim and own, and I've been writing on it for a number of years now, a couple of years, this whole notion of looking at content marketing through a PR lens. So one of my favourite books in the marketing space is by a guy called David Mimmon Scott, who has written a number of books, but his first one was The New Rules of Marketing and PR. And what a genius title, because he's just captured everything there. It's got a very long subtitle as well, probably not as long as mine. So I beat him on that score. But what a fantastic title. And I've heard him interviewed before, for someone who had a title of his book, which was a little bit more like mine. You know, what does that actually mean? But, you know, then they discussed about titles, and it does make sense sometimes just to be a little more obvious when people are busy and they just want to scamper through and, oh, that's what it is, bang, that's what it is. So if you can articulate what it is, you should do it. It's not possible all the time. You might be retrofitting, you know, and it might be forced. But if it comes naturally, I think maybe that's the default you go for. Plus, I've got the URL, which makes everything comes back to the URL.
And of course, you're for nonfiction, it's all about the search. So it's like, well, what would someone search for?
It is, yeah. So you'll notice in there's a few search terms: personal branding, content marketing,
yep.
On social media. That's in micro domination. So yeah, but it's content marketing for PR. So articulating it, breaking it open. The moment you go down a path like that, you have to say, well, once PR's in the title, you have to say, what is PR? Most people, even people in PR, don't understand what PR is. PR has an image problem. It always has. Chances are what people think about what it is, it's not what it is. So there's a fair bit of articulating around that. And, you know, it's a little bit of point of view and perspective and opinion.
Mm.
And but it's a good talking point. And then it's how PR is, content for PR is a little bit different than the traditional content marketing that we hear about and that's been hijacked by the inbound marketers and the people that want to put you into their marketing funnel and squeeze you down to the bottom. And I believe there's a lot more to it before you even get to that point.
Mm. Okay. So have you got a sense of when this might be available?
Oh, I'm trying to do it by October. I'm trying to finish it in August.
Yeah.
So I've got about 3-4 chapters to go, but I think I really only need, I can kill a couple of them off. And probably do another 2, and then I just need to go through it all again, redo it. That's my bad habit. I rewrite as I go, which is
okay.
It's a shocking habit. but I know I'm not the only one, so I don't.
I think it works for some people.
Cause yeah.
Then when you're done, aren't you?
No, because you still go back and do that last one.
Not the 15 drafts.
And then it'll go to an editor, and hopefully I don't have to do too many changes. But I know that that's the most. You know, pretty much the most important section of and how long that takes. So hoping for October, if not early November. Just about to commission the cover.
Great. That's exciting.
Yeah. Was with micro-domination, the first thing the publisher did was, let's work on the cover.
Okay.
So straight away. So you've got the cover almost before you start. And that, I guess psychologically it's there. It's real, which I like that. That was a good trick.
Great. So is it up for pre-order yet? Are you that far advanced?
No, I'm not going to do that. I've just only in recent couple of months started talking about it, and if I finish a chapter, I put it on Twitter with a happy dance GIF.
As we people, do.
absolutely. Why wouldn't you? It's the only reason you'd write books is to put up a GIF of celebrating another chapter down. I don't know if they were really short chapters. I'd probably run out of GIFs, but or GIFs, apparently officially it's called GIFs, not GIFs. And so I'm talking about it now, and I guess because I've got the blog and I've, you know, do a lot on LinkedIn and that I've still got that audience that I talk to. So I'm not starting purely from scratch, but probably now's the time to. I'm a bit more comfortable in talking about it.
Now you know.
So I have to do it. I have to do it.
Excellent. Well, I won't take up any more of your time. I'll let you get back to finishing it. So if people are interested in finding out more about you, where can they find you and your work?
Yeah, well, the business is called digitalcitizen.group, one of those new URLs. digitalcitizen.group, and I have my own personal website, trevoryoung.me.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sparing the time to talk to me today. It's been really helpful.
Thank you, Madeline. Been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Write Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Write Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?